You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
There, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is my mission for you. That is what this is all about. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you would like to call in and talk with me today, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what's eating at you, what's weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It is not what you are eating. It is why that is the problem. So I invite you to join me. And if you're on Instagram, you can also drop a question in the comments. So today I'm going to talk about the three vulnerabilities to binge eating, stress eating, and emotional eating. Because, you know, whatever is going on with food, if you're having trouble sticking to a healthy eating plan, aka a diet, whatever is going on with food is not about willpower. Binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating of any kind, it is a symptom or actually a solution to the problem. It is not the real problem, even though it sure feels like it's the real problem. And I have a caller. Welcome, caller.
Hi, Nina. It's Pamela.
Hi, Pamela. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm okay. So actually, I was trying to get through last week about, you were talking about people that are vaccinated, not vaccinated. I think her name was Jen who called in. And it kind of disturbed me a little bit because she was talking about how she's so tired of people not being vaccinated and all that. Okay. So I know exactly what you're going to say because this is the way that she was feeling, but it really bothered me that night. And I was like up and it was bothering me. Okay, so I've learned within the course of the last couple of years that you can't judge people. I know the way she was feeling. I know she was feeling upset. I know. I really understand that. But I've learned throughout the last year or so, especially because of my own medical issues, that you can't ask a person if they've been vaccinated or not because it's a HIPAA law. Okay, that's number one. Okay, I know we're all like, oh, are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I understand. So I just want to let y'all know it's a HIPAA law.
Well, it's only a HIPAA law when it comes to your medical records in a medical situation or an employment situation. You can ask other people if they're vaccinated. And by the way, just want to say, Josh is saying it's close to the year 6,000 in Jewish years. So I just want to do a shout out for Shana Tova to my fellow Jewish people and Happy New Year. May this be a sweet and healthy year. You were upset that she, and by the way, I am wearing my pro-vaxxer t-shirt today because I am a pro-vaxxer. And I just want to say that yes, you felt upset because maybe she was talking about all people and not, and this is what I talked about, is distinguishing between people who are anti-vaxxers and people who are just afraid to get to the people who are just afraid to get the vaccine for various reasons, or people who can't get it for medical reasons. So that was the distinction.
That's what I was going to say. You know, me personally, because of all my, you know, medical issues, I'm pro, you know, vaccination, pro mask. I hate wearing it. You know, I despise it. I think a lot of us are tired of it because it's been 2 years, but you can't judge people because you don't know. You don't know what their situation is. You know, we have a lady who has 20% of her heart is working, and her doctor, you know, she got the first vaccine and she just had a really bad time and she doesn't want to get it again. You know, and we nudged her, you know, the word nudge, her into getting the vaccine.
I know she nudged.
You don't know.
I know. I had a Yiddish grandmother. I had a grandmother who spoke Yiddish. So, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I know from nudge. Yes. But Pam, I think that, yes, you are right. There are individual people who have reasons. And when you make a global statement, that doesn't take into consideration the individuals. But I think what she was talking about was just because of so many people who are in fear and therefore not getting it, people continue to die. The virus continues to evolve, mutate, right. and therefore it continues to be a problem for all of us.
Right, and it does. But and also another thing is, turn off the news, okay? Because I had COVID, and I'll tell you, it does exist. Okay, COVID does exist. I was in the hospital, okay, because of the cancer. They kept me in the hospital. When I was in emergency, I was crying. I couldn't believe it because I was in the community for 6, 7 months, 8 months, and I didn't get it. So, yes, I was scared, and I started crying, and the nurse that helped me, like, prior when I had the blood clots, she came to me, and she says, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I'm so scared." She says, "What are you scared of?" Do people are in those suits, you know, in the hospital? No, they're not. They're all masked, you know. Maybe you see the news always gives you the negative information. They don't give you the positive that, you know, that I was on oxygen and my status was really good. You know, I had, you know, like a little mild case of it, you know. But they are saying that
you are one of the lucky ones. You are one of the lucky ones. But there are, you know, 600, almost 700,000 people in this country who are not so lucky, and they're the long term.
But that's true too. And then, you know, but that is true, you know, and it's all according to what their medical condition is as well. You know, and yes, the nurses.
Let me ask you something. I agree that we have to take people on an individual basis. And I also agree that there's a lot of misinformation out there and people are making decisions based on misinformation. You're a person who's informed. But what do you do with these feelings of yours? You said you were upset. You were maybe even angry. You were offended. You had these feelings. What did you do with those feelings? Because that's where the show comes in, right? When you
right,
can
and
deal.
I understand, no, and I fully understand that. But I cried. But see, you have to remember, I was in survival mode at that time, you know, because all I could think is like, you know, I have to get better because I want to live, you know, I want to go on, you know, even though I'm X amount of years, you know, I want to live. And, you know, and you're right, you know, but just, and you're right. And, you know, that's why we've all gained weight, you know, sitting at home. And that's why we've eaten, because we're so scared. And exactly. We can't go to the gym. We can't do this, you know, and you have to take precaution. And I fully understand it. You know, I know, look, you know, I had to bribe my roommate. I said, let's get cable, because if we're going to be isolated like this, you know, at least I want to watch TV, and you stream and you sleep. And I get it. I look, I didn't lose, you know, I've gained a lot of weight. You know, I know, you know, go for a walk.
No. I got to stop you there. No, okay. Going for a walk or taking a bubble bath or brushing your freaking teeth is not going to help you deal with emotions. Going for a walk is a distraction that is not quite as pleasant for people as eating ice cream or pizza or whatever. So going for a walk is not going to work. As someone has said to me, hey, if taking a bubble bath worked, I'd be a prune. It doesn't work.
Yeah. What no, work? I totally understand that. Let me finish
for people who don't understand. Okay, hold on.
I fully understand that. I understand her anxiety. I understand, you know, because, you Pam, know, I, hey.
Pam, you know, hold on. I did it too. Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. Hold that thought. Please hold that thought. I'll be right back to you. I just want to say, because you brought up taking a walk as a distraction for intense emotions. That doesn't work, because the only way to get rid of feelings is to express them, feel them. And that doesn't mean sit in them. It means feel them, express them. And this is the missing part, respond to them.
Right. You're absolutely right.
So that's how you get rid of feelings. It sounds counterintuitive, but you've got to feel them, you've got to express them, and then you've got to respond to yourself. We don't, you know, we respond to friends, we respond to other people. We just have to learn to respond to ourselves. And that means validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. All right.
I'm not saying you're wrong. You're absolutely right. Cry, you know, write, you know, like you say, journal, you know, I've had tantrums, you know, you're right. You know, you're absolutely. I can't think, I'm sorry. The chemo and the COVID is getting to me, but no, I fully understand that. And I understand what you're trying to say, and you're right. You know, I'm not denying that you are right, but I'm just saying that, you know, because I'm even getting aggravated. I don't want to watch the news all day long. You know, I don't want to hear that, because it's just, but I think what I was so mad about is that don't judge people, because you don't know. You just don't know what their lives are like. You know,
that's true. And this is not simply about individual choice, because people's individual choices affect the community. So normally, in normal circumstances, one's choice to do something or not do something doesn't affect anybody but that individual, or maybe a few people around that individual. But this is, and this was her point, was that, because so many people are afraid of getting vaccinated or just downright against it, it is now affecting the community's health. It is having a trickle down effect. She said she was a makeup artist in LA, and because of things are shut down. So people's individual choices, very few of whom are making this decision based on their health, their actual physical health, are affecting her and all of us. And it is perpetuating the pandemic. That was her point. That was her. Okay. But, and you are right that everybody has a story. And we don't know when we see somebody, we don't know his or her story. And to your point, it is very good not to make assumptions. You know what they say about assume makes an ass out of you.
Yeah,
so
I know.
So yeah. I appreciate your point, and I appreciate you expressing how you felt. Because look, here I am talking about how to get rid of feelings. You feel them, and here you are going, "Oh, I was so mad."
But it's funny, because I knew where you were going in this direction. I knew that I. come on, I know what you were going to say. I said, and I even said it to myself, I know what she's going to say. I know exactly, you know, and, you know, so, but that was just, I was just really, really, I was really upset that night, you know, and I was just like, what? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so that was my pet peeve for last week. And I tried to throw it in and that was it.
Okay, but Pam, I appreciate you following through and following up and expressing yourself, because that is, like, again, you exemplified, how do you get rid of feelings? You express it. You say, I'm mad because of this. This is upsetting to me. Da, 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 da. Instead of positive, think it away or let it go or don't think about it or drop it. How do you drop it? Can't positive think away. Anything.
Yeah. I know.
So good for you. I'm really glad that you felt comfortable enough to call and share your thoughts. And I think you do make a good point. And not just for getting vaccinated, but just in general for all people. We all need to be less judgmental because we don't know what a person's story is. And I'm no longer exactly. talking about vaccines. I'm talking about more acceptance of each other, and there's a tendency
exactly.
to be judgmental in this culture. When I had an autoimmune disease a couple years ago, and I got, I looked sick and I was so skinny, and people were saying horrible things on Facebook about me being anorexic and needing a sandwich, and I should, like, they had all kinds of nasty things to say. Well, I was sick, you know, I had a terrible autoimmune disease. So we need to be able to think, hey, before we make assumptions about people, let's, like, see what the story is or right. not make
it. No, exactly. Because, you know, with the breast cancer, with the COVID, with everything, I cannot do a lot of things that I used to do. You know, I have to, like, yesterday, you know, I went and had lunch with a friend, and then I went to Target. And for me, you know, in the past, that would be an easy day. I was wiped out yesterday, you know, but what's going on with me? You know, my knee, I have osteoarthritis. It hurts me. I'm having trouble walking. You know, I have asthma, the COVID still lingering, you know, and I was just like, oh my, I cannot, you know, with the cancer and the treatments I'm still going through, I still can't, you know, do everything that I want to do. I have to spread it out, you know, so people don't know, and they will make, you know, I had taken care of a lady one time, and she was in a wheelchair. And we went to Soup Plantation. Love Soup Plantation. I love Soup Plantation. And her daughter was with her. And she had the placard, you know, the placard card, the placard thing for the handicap. And there wasn't enough handicap parking. And so I had to park all over, you know, a little bit far away. Anyways, so her daughter was with us. And we walked out of Soup Plantation. And this person in a van or SUV or whatever was pulling into the handicap that was right there. And she turned, and the daughter turned around and she said, oh, I wonder, she shouldn't have a handicap space, or, you know, my mother should, you know, she's more, you know, she was judging her. And I looked at her and I said, really? You're going to judge a person? You don't know why this person has a handicap plate, you know, just leave.
Pam,
who cares?
Absolutely right. And I'm glad that you are spreading this gospel of do not judge. And I also hope you will not judge yourself or be hard on yourself. So I want to thank you for calling and for sharing your thoughts and for being an example of how to express anger and resentment, and also making the point about not making assumptions and not making judgments. So thank you so much. Hopefully the next time you call, it won't be because you're upset at something that was said on my show.
That's okay. I came back.
I'm glad you did.
Okay.
happy could talk to you about it.
You know, I can't say the same, but Happy New Year's, and, you know, hopefully we'll get some enjoyment and peace and happiness in this world, you know, because there's too much stuff going on.
Amen. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Yeah, that's all I got. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Pam. Bye-bye. Right,
bye-bye.
Okay, so what I was saying was that whatever's going on with food, if it's problematic, it is a solution to the problem. It is not the problem, although certainly it feels like the problem. So remember, you are not a food addict. It is not about willpower. It is not about control. There is nothing wrong with you. Binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating is a way of coping with difficult or painful situations. It is a way of actually helping you that also hurts you. That's why I call it a frenemy. It is a friend. It is doing something for you. It is helping you cope, but it is also, of course, hurting you, hurting your body, hurting your spirit, hurting your relationship with yourself. When you find out when you figure out how it is helping you, how it is a friend, and you find other ways to cope, guess what? Everything changes with food. So today I'm going to share three common situations that create a vulnerability to emotional eating. By the way, if you would like to share a thought, if you have a question, please do not worry. Interrupt me. The number here is 323-203-0815. Give me a call. And here's another caller. Hi, caller.
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Carly Gash. How are you today?
Carly Gash, it's good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Yes, I've been working. And actually, right now, I'm kind of in avoidance mode. That's why I called you and started listening to your show while I'm supposed to work. So, and that's actually I want to talk about. So about 2-3 weeks ago, I had a little bit of progress in liberating from binge eating. I started feeling better, but right now I'm at the point. So I opened this agency, transportation agency, and I'm supposed to bring in clients and move loads, but I had very little success with it. And honestly, it's just been so hard and challenging for me. And previously in Kazakhstan, I used to work for like big corporate companies, and I had careers there. But right now, to be honest, I'm not putting enough effort, honestly. I'm not making enough calls. I'm not like studying and doing trainings as fast as I'm supposed to. And I think the underlying thought here is just, I don't believe I can do that. And the second one, I don't believe there is like opportunity to make money out there on the market. It feels for me like everything is taken, or it's just hard to get, because the nature of business I'm doing is just people lie a lot to each other, brokers and carriers. Brokers lie about the conditions of the load, and carriers lie about having an available truck.
Carly, did you think this before you started your business, or are you now thinking this? Because you said you've been in this business, you were in this business in Kazakhstan. So is this, this may be true, but this wasn't enough to make you not open the business. Is there something else going on, some sort of self-sabotage? You mentioned you're not working when you should be working, and you had been feeling better and not binging, and that's changing. So let's talk a little bit about sabotage.
Well, that's true. I think that also part of it is that my job consists of a lot of cold calling and rejection. And what happened in this 2-3 weeks, I actually opened a very nice it's a very nice big company. But the moment I started like trying to get contact. Many companies said, oh, no, we are not working with your company. Like, there is a little bit easier way to make money. And when I started doing that, I just had 96% feedback that we don't work with you. We don't work with you. Your company is so bad. You people are not good. And it's very, you know, painful. It hits hard on me. I know that maybe I should have a thicker skin. But, you know, I just am very vulnerable, which makes me a good salesperson when it comes to, like, actual sales.
How are you coping with your disappointment? Let's say your disappointment.
Yes, I guess I'm getting a lot of rejection daily. That's why the last week I was procrastinating, avoiding my work, and just avoiding the work in general, because, like, all the time and effort I put, I basically all I get is rejection.
I think you're actually avoiding my question, which was, how are you dealing with disappointment? Because what I hear is you're very disappointed. This, you had high hopes, and then you started making calls and nobody wants to work with you because of the company that I guess you're franchised with. So what about expressing disappointment? Because what you don't want to do is then transfer that into disappointment with yourself for anything, including eating, including weight. What is it that express that disappointment? In fact, let me go to my famous page 45 of the binge cure, where I have the prompts. So on, do I not have disappointment? I guess disappointment would be more around would be sadness or maybe helplessness. Which one registers for you most?
I would say helplessness.
So if you were to express helplessness, you know, how would you finish the sentence? I'm powerless. I'm powerless over, or I'm powerless because, what would you say?
I'm powerless over the nature of my business. I'm powerless over the fact that I'm still new on American market and I'm still gaining knowledge. I'm kind of beginner here. I do have general knowledge of how transportation business works in the world, in Europe, and where I came from. But in America, it's a little bit different. So I'm still gaining knowledge about the industry. But I'm already in the position where basically I'm managing the office and am supposed to deliver greater results. So I'm powerless over this situation, and that's an old situation revived, where people are always so ready to give me responsibility and make me a manager. Anywhere I went, any company, they promoted me just right away. But I always felt like I am either underqualified or I don't have enough information about the market, or
is there a relationship between you getting this promotion or getting this business and not feeling good enough and kind of taking yourself down, seeing yourself as less than other people see you, and also stopping, you felt good and you stopped binging and now things are turning around again. It's almost as if you have a fear of the good or a fear of really standing in a place of goodness, a place of feeling empowered and capable.
Yeah, I actually felt good to feel empowered and capable, but then when reality didn't match, when I didn't actually bring the business on the table, I started feeling powerless, helpless. I felt bad, and I and answering your question, how do you deal with disappointment? I binged my way through it.
And then, Carla, hold on. Then your disappointment over your situation can become your disappointment over food and your weight. So disappointment over other people that you can't control, disappointment about a situation that's not what you want it to be, despite some of your best efforts, or maybe now not your best efforts, but disappointment over a situation then becomes disappointment over food. And that's why it's so important to just stay with your disappointment over the situation and to challenge some of these ideas that are starting to become apparent, such as people give you a job and you don't really deserve it, or you can't follow through. How long have you had this company?
Oh, less than a month.
Less than a month. Just take a moment. Less than a month.
I would say 1 month.
1 month. Okay. I want you to go and do a Google search on how long it takes for companies to be up and running and productive. Your expectations are so sky high that, of course, you're going to be disappointed. You have to have expectations that are in line with the situation.
Because I see people who are less educated and less experienced than me, and they do pull out results way quicker than I do in this business. And sometimes I think that if I was probably less knowledgeable, like I think globally very well. In Kazakhstan, I used to do like really international, the complex shipments where multiple countries involved, multiple headquarters of my B Corp. The biggest, actually, I worked for the biggest transportation company in the world. I worked for Leaders. So I know how complicated things are and how to be responsible. But the business I'm right now, trucking business, people don't care as much about customer service. They do take huge risks. They do stuff to customers, which I morally cannot do, like, because I'm that kind of person. And that's why I'm not making money. If I lied around, if I risked customers' shipments, their businesses, I would make money. But I consider it selfish, you know. I'm still, I guess, digging around using my intelligence to find a way to make money differently without jeopardizing someone or making uncomfortable. Whereas I see around people who are like maybe less knowledgeable than me or maybe have less morals, they just do it, you know. They just do it and then do it in advance. Now they're going to deliver late because they do some stuff.
Stop. First of all, comparison is the thief of joy, said Theodore Roosevelt, who was very wise because he's right. Comparison is the thief of joy. When you compare yourself to these people who are doing better than you, you are going to feel bad. However, Carla Gash, can I give you some tough love? You also said you're not working as hard as you could, and that you're coming up with reasons not to work, including calling this show, which I'm very glad for that. But rather than say that you're not, that, you know, other people are doing it and you're not, and you're smarter than they are, and, you know, how unfair this is, which I agree, I'm with you, but you're also not doing the thing you need to do. So you want to look at why. Why are you not doing the thing you need to do?
I would find a reason, because it's been a pattern a while, and in many other places I worked for. I kind of start enthusiastically motivated. Then I'm very excited when new information comes in. And when there is like a time to deliver the result, I kind of slip or don't do it, and I start avoiding. And it's been a pattern, my life pattern with everything.
Then I strongly suggest you look at what is your fear of success, fear of failure. Both of those can coexist. if you have a, you've called the show often enough that we know a lot of your history, but if you have a family back in Kazakhstan that is struggling as much as you came to America because you didn't want to struggle and you want to leave them behind and you've got things to do and businesses to create and all of that, as much as you have that consciously, there may be another part of you that says, oh no, I've got to be, you know, like my a hidden unconscious part of you that says, no, I've got to be just like my family. I can't rise too high. There might be a part of you that would feel guilty for that. There might be a part of you that feels like you don't deserve it, like you're fooling everybody and then they're going to find out. So, I mean, there could be so many different things. But you have to look at not that you're not doing what you need to do, but why? Just like we want to look at not what are you eating, but why?
Yes, I would really like to find out the why and the reason. And I think while we were talking, I was trying to like close my eyes and think about it. Deep down, I believe that I'm worse than other people or something. It's like as if they deserve to do it, to make money and like have easier life. But I always felt like I need to do the hardest part just to get a portion of what a normal, regular person would receive.
Why are you not a normal, regular person? Why do you separate you from other people? Why are you somehow on the outside of people? Who are these normal, regular people, by the way? I don't know any normal people. Do you? Does anyone?
No, because I was, like my colleagues from previous jobs, I just look at them, like I said, comparing and... even though, like, in the previous company, when I started working, they treated me nicely, actually. They treated me okay, but I guess I created the situation they were when they were treating me poorly, and I was suffering, and then I left, and I basically was recreating my family dynamics with those people. Being
then
the person
original. Okay, so the original situation where you felt on the outside of the group was in your family, where it was sort of them and then you on the outside, and that's how you are placing yourself in the world. You know, it's you and then everybody else. And that has to be, and then you created some narrative around that you were more special or you were more whatever. And you may be, of course you are. I know you're very bright. But what does that how is that narrative no longer serving you? And how is it keeping you stuck? Because there's one narrative that says, oh, you're separate from other people and more educated and more thoughtful and more.
Or the other way around. It's always like, and the other, like both. I consider myself smarter than everyone or like worse than everyone. I always go to those two extremes. And I would like to come to the middle where majority of people are hanging out and actually being with them, learning how to communicate, socialize, and just be with people with boundaries, with healthy communication. Because I am to a big extent, I'm scared of people for real. I'm scared to get close. I'm scared to connect. And it affects me badly because sales is all about being connected to your customer in a professional way, but still communicating and, you know, like going like ping pong back and forth.
What I want you to do is focus on this idea of what does it mean to be part of the group? And think about that. You think about that this week. What does it mean to be part of the group? And you might have negatives attached to that and positives. And will you call me next week and tell me what comes to mind when you think about being part of a group?
I'll do my best to do so.
Yeah, I think that's key.
Thank you.
And please, while you're considering this, please take a stance of kindness to yourself. Do not beat yourself up for not making the calls. Tell yourself to make one call. Be encouraging. One call, and then one call, and then one call. If you look at a list of, I have to make 100 calls, that is daunting and overwhelming. But if you say, I'm just going to make one call, it's a lot more doable. That's the surface stuff, but we're going to dig deep and look at what it is that keeps you from fully embracing the success that other people believe you can create. Okay? You have some food.
Me, I need to do it myself now.
I believe in you, Carly Gash. Call us next week and tell us your thoughts.
Yes, I will. I will do my best. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'm grateful.
Thank you, Carly Gash. Take good care. Okay, bye for now. Okay, so I'm not going to be able to get to the three situations. I'm going to get to them one at a time. I think we only have about 9 minutes. So the first of the common situations that lead to binge eating, stress eating, emotional eating of any kind, or any kind of unhealthy, unhappy eating, the first is loneliness. Loneliness. Boy, do we know about loneliness, many people, from this pandemic. Some people had the opposite problem. They just wanted to be alone. But loneliness. So loneliness is about wanting to be with somebody else. And the solution to loneliness is being with people, connecting with people, feeling connected. That's how you feel not lonely. Loneliness can feel like emptiness. We experience it in our bodies as emptiness. And it can even register as, get this, this is so amazing, physical hunger. Because any expression of yearning, oh, I want to be with other people. I'm hungry for love, right? It can be converted in our bodies into a physical sensation. Crazy, right? Unbelievable. Our minds are so amazing. Yearning. So yearning can feel like physical hunger. So if you find yourself turning to filling foods, bread, muffins, cake, pizza, pasta, you know, all that kind of stuff that takes up space in your stomach, hamburgers, you may be filling the loneliness, filling the internal void. So maybe instead of being hungry for food, you're really hungry for love, for companionship, for connection. If you're lonely, you might be filling up on food as a way to fill the symbolic emptiness inside. And by the way, loneliness is often confused with boredom. Boredom is about wanting to do something. And the way to alleviate boredom is to do something, to be active, to get something done. And although that's a side note, although that's great in moderation, being super busy and always productive and kind of a workaholic mode, it keeps you from connecting with yourself, with your thoughts and with your feelings. But I digress. So onward to loneliness. Again, the solution to loneliness is to be with other people. But what if other people aren't a source of safety? What if other people make you nervous? What if other people make you self-conscious? Maybe you don't want to burden them. Maybe you're afraid they won't understand. Maybe you're afraid they won't judge you. Maybe that's a little bit of what Carly Gash was getting to when she said she keeps herself from being too connected with people. If that's the case, you may have learned to turn to food instead of to people. So you need to, you're going to want to look at what are the experiences in the past that are haunting your present? What are the experiences that taught you you can't rely on other people? What are the experiences that made you afraid to seek out or trust other people? Josh says he feels fat. Yes, fat is not a feeling. He really feels sad. Great reframe, Josh, because fat is a substance. It is not a feeling. Sadness is a feeling. So if you're lonely, connecting with people is vital. And by the way, you don't need to do that in person. As we all know, after the pandemic, you can connect online, Zoom, FaceTime, Facebook. Hey, join my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. Take a dog on a walk, because by the way, they are people magnets. You take a dog on a walk, everyone's going to come up and say, oh, what a cute dog. Can I pet your dog? And you're going to say yes. And even if you have a moment of just interaction with people, sometimes that's a moment. That's better than nothing. But if you can't do anything, if it is 3 a.m. and you can't take a dog for a walk, and you're not going to connect with your book club, and you're not going to go take a walk with other people, if you can't do anything in that moment, all you can do is experience the loneliness. That is the bad news. Loneliness is a difficult experience. But I promise you, the bad, uncomfortable, intolerable feeling of loneliness won't last forever. You will survive it and you will feel better. You can't eat away loneliness. You can't think it away, drink it away, exercise it away. You can't ignore it. You can't drop it. You can't positive think it away. Not loneliness, not anything. But you can express it, which helps you get out of it. Right? People say to me all the time, oh, I don't want to have to sit in my feelings. No, I don't want you to sit in with your feelings either. That sounds terrible. Like you're sitting in a bunch of feelings. Yuck. But experience, but crying and then responding to yourself. Responding to yourself as you would a friend. Talk to yourself as you would a lonely friend. Be kind. Don't be mean. That'll just make you feel worse. That'll just, then you're going to want to eat to get away from not only the loneliness, but your own mean voice. So kindness is key. When you are there with a kind part of you and you can reassure yourself and you can acknowledge and validate the loneliness and you can tell yourself, yeah, this hurts. This is painful. This is difficult. This is an awful ache within me. And I'm not going to feel it forever. I feel it now. And I'm not going to feel it forever. What can I do to resolve this loneliness? What else can I do tomorrow if it's 3 a.m.? Or now if you have a friend who you can call at 3 a.m.? And by the way, on my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, there are people all over the world there. So 3 a.m. for you might be the morning or nighttime for someone else. You might just be able to connect with someone on there. If you want to join, just do a search, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. The point is that whatever you are feeling, you can experience it and you can respond to it and you will feel better. Feelings eventually come to an end. Josh is saying he needs to separate the feeling from reality. I don't know what that means, but the feeling is real. The feeling is real. And the point is you gotta allow yourself to express it. There's a reason you're sad. Josh, express that feeling. What's making you sad? What would you say to a friend who was sad? Talk to yourself as if you were a friend. When you respond to yourself, guess what? You don't use food for comfort, for distraction, or to numb yourself out. So that is the first of my three situations that cause vulnerability to emotional eating. I'm going to cover the next one or two next week. I want to thank you all for being here with me today on the Dr. Nina Show. I am here live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. You can also listen later because the show is made into a podcast. So you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you get podcasts. And I also want to say, no matter how long you've been struggling with food, it doesn't have to be this way. There is a reason you're struggling. There is something that you can do differently, and it is not going on a diet, and it is not having to do with anything about food. It has to do with your relationship with yourself. When you heal your relationship with yourself, when you show up as a friend and not an enemy, When you are kind to yourself and when you are compassionate, you make yourself feel better. Comfort words are much more healing than comfort foods. So that is something to think about. Hopefully I will see you in my Food for Thought community on Facebook. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Be safe, be healthy, and I'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.